Blog.
You're listening to Now You Know, talk radio where you get to ask the questions. Call us now at 877-NYK-RADIO. That's 877-695-7234. And now, here are your hosts, Ann Mitchell and Brian McCullough.
Good afternoon, good evening, good night. How are you, Ann?
Oh, Brian, I'm great. How are you?
You know, I have had a fabulous couple of days. I don't mind telling you.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, and it's the stupidest thing, and it's something that I never thought that I would care about anymore, but we actually got a piano yesterday, and I have just been eating this thing up. I haven't played the piano in 20 years, and we got it in the house, and all I can do is play this piano, and I'm just loving it, and it's making me so happy and excited. So that's what I was doing 2 minutes before the show started. I was playing Jingle Bells on our piano.
Wow, it's like Christmas in August.
That's right. My kids want me to work on the Christmas songs, so hopefully I can have those in somewhat reasonable fashion by the time Christmas comes here. So how are you?
Well, that
How's your week been?
My week has been really, really busy, and we have some really exciting new things that we have added to the show and to the support around the show. So we now have our very own Facebook fan page, and let me tell you that you actually have to jump through quite a few hoops and in order to get a fan page that's your name. But we did it, so you can now find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nowyouknow. How cool is that? And there are discussions there about previous shows, so you guys can join the discussion. And you can interact with us on our Facebook page, and, of course, you can also do that on our nowyouknowradio.com website.
Yeah, that's very exciting. One thing that I love about knowing you, Ann, is that I feel in the social media arena that I'm always having to play catch up with whatever is the latest and greatest thing, and you always seem to be right on the cutting edge of it. So I'm very glad that I can pull on your expertise and you know how to do these things. I've just barely learned how to tweet, so I'm glad that I have you.
Well, thank you for reminding me to remind everyone about that, too. You know, you can submit questions to our guest through our Twitter feed. It is at Now You Know Radio. And, of course, you can call in. And what's that number, Brian?
That number is 877-NYK-RADIO. That stands for Now You Know Radio. I don't have the numbers written down in front of me, so you're going to have to figure that out if you want to call in. But I could probably
you can also
get it
Skype in.
You can Skype in, yes.
And you can go straight through the link on our site with your web browser. So there are all kinds of ways to connect with us. And, of course, you can also lurk in our chat room. We see there are a couple of people in there already. And that's also available from the website if you are coming in through the site. So many different ways to connect with us. And speaking of connecting with people, let me introduce this week's guest. He is a wonderful, wonderful chef. And I know this from personal experience. I first met Chef Daniel Asher a few years ago at a restaurant where he was the head chef. It was an organic restaurant where he made just the most wonderful dishes, including quite a few raw things. And I asked him if he would come on the show and talk about those things that chefs talk about. So please welcome Daniel Asher, the Eco Chef.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, Daniel, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. As I said, I first met you back at a restaurant called Organic Orbit, and I believe you had just moved to the Boulder, Colorado area at that time. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. I had moved. I moved from Chicago, and needed the beauty of the mountains and a poetic backdrop to enhance my creativity, and that's exactly what I got, and it was a beautiful experience.
Well, so tell us a little bit about your background.
I grew up, I was actually born in Montreal, Canada, and I grew up outside of Chicago, And I grew up in a family where food was a huge focus of our lives. My mom is extremely talented in the kitchen, and she had two beautiful gardens around the house. And cooking was just a huge part of our focus as a family. And my dad worked a lot all the time. He was kind of a workaholic, but he always would kind of focus and, you know, find his peace at the dinner table. So I learned at a young age that, you know, cooking is a really important thing to bring people together and to have wonderful conversations and memories with. So at the age of around 7 years old, I was side by side with my mom in the kitchen on a step stool, and she was teaching me how to prepare different foods. And when I was around 9 or 10, I started making dinner for the family every now and then. And I'd watch Julia Child and Jeff Smith after school, after grade school, and I'd have my little recipe books and I'd write notes in and stuff. So, you know, I knew at a pretty young age what I wanted to do with myself, which was quite a blessing. And it also ends up being my career path as well. So it's a beautiful thing.
That is a really cool story. So I have to ask you, because you mentioned Julia Child, have you seen the movie Julie and Julia? And if so, what did you think?
You know what? Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance yet. I'd like to very much. I've tried to a couple times, but I haven't been able to find the time. But I've heard wonderful things about the film, and I'd love to see it. I mean, she's just an incredible inspiration on so many levels. So I'm sure it'd be great to see that film, definitely.
Well, you know, we already have. I did see it, and in fact, I've seen it 3 times. Although what I can tell you is that I would love to have seen a whole lot more of the Julia Child storyline and a whole lot less of the Julie Powell storyline. Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci were just absolutely fantastic in it. So let me ask you, we already have callers with questions for you, but can you just talk a little bit about what your general philosophy is and also your expertise? You know, you call yourself the Eco Chef, and tell us what that's about, and also talk to us a little bit about your philosophy.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely, you know, I've always been into cooking from a natural foods perspective. That's how I grew up. That was my parents' philosophy. We never had processed food in the house unless it was like a special treat. Most things were homemade from scratch. So, you know, when I went to school, I had all sorts of little homemade sandwiches and, you know, even homemade potato chips and home-baked cookies, and my friends had, you know, Ruffles and Doritos and bologna sandwiches on white bread, and, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to get really amazing, wholesome food prepared with a lot of love, so that's kind of what I always associated with being normal for people to eat. And then when I became a professional chef and, you know, entered the restaurant world, I saw, you know, all sorts of junk that restaurants were feeding people, and it didn't match up at all with my personal philosophies, and I didn't think it was, you know, appropriate to eat differently than what I was feeding people. Because, you know, being a chef, you have a certain role of nourishing people, and it's a very specific responsibility, and you need to know how to handle it properly. You can't just, you know, grab whatever's around and cook it and throw it on a plate. There has to be some sort of consciousness involved and some sort of ethics. So I'm a huge believer in the organic foods movement, the local foods movement, connecting with local farmers, finding seasonal items that are grown in local soil from, farmers and producers and growers that care about what they're doing, preferably smaller operations as opposed to these large-scale commercial farms, because, you know, it's harder to stick to certain ideals, I think, the bigger an operation gets. And, I just think our food supply has become so horribly contaminated because of our need to eat quickly and eat conveniently. And I think, you know, people are changing and philosophies are moving more, luckily, in a direction of sustainability and slowing down a little bit, you know, and movies like Food Incorporated and books like The Omnivore's Dilemma are, you know, kind of helping to shift this sort of consciousness in a more natural foods arena. I was cooking natural foods, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and people didn't even know what that meant when I said, I don't cook anything with chemical additives or preservatives. I don't use foods that have been highly processed. I don't use anything that is high fructose corn syrup. And at the time, people were people didn't even know what I was talking about, but I knew what I was talking about, and I knew, you know, people that cared and people that were already into these things appreciated it, and it was just a matter of time before it evolved and became what now is this, you know, huge, huge trend in the culinary world to be local, to be organic, to be sustainable, you know, and the restaurant I'm with now, Rootdown, I mean, we have gardens surrounding the entire restaurant. I mean, I go outside with a pair of scissors and sniff, you know, snip kale and squash blossoms and fresh herbs, and then walk back inside the kitchen and throw them in a pan. And it's the greatest feeling. And it's the best way to connect with the local soil is by growing your own food and then preparing it. So luckily I'm blessed to be involved with a restaurant that has such a high level of integrity. And the owner, Justin Cucci, has such a wonderful philosophy of food, and it's an absolute pleasure to be a part of his kitchen team. Because my ideals don't have to be in conflict with what we're doing. It's completely in harmony. And it's great. It's an absolutely wonderful environment. And I think people really need to stop and think before they eat, before they even make a decision to eat, who's going to prepare your food, where does it come from, and what was involved in the preparation of it. Because what we feed ourselves with and how we nourish our bodies dictates the course of our entire day. You know, whether we're, you know, content or stressed or, you know, a lot of that has to do with what nutrients we take in and what chemicals we consume. So the better balance our diet is, the better balance our minds, bodies, and spirits are to better handle this crazy world that we're living in.
Mm-hmm. That really makes perfect sense. And I have to tell you, when you were talking about walking out into the garden and picking squash blossoms and kale, you were making my mouth water. So we have callers, as I said. Let me just say that, you know, if please call in to ask Chef Escher a question. The number is 877-NYK-RADIO. That's 877-695-7234. And let's go to Rob, calling in from California, from Silicon Valley. And Rob has a question for you.
Hi, Chef Escher. My question
is... Hey, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. My question is, what is sustainable food... and why should we care about it?
Well, sustainable food, I mean, there's a number of different philosophies as far as what sustainable food involves. But from my personal perspective, sustainable food involves contributing to a system, contributing to a network of sustainability where there's some level of thought and ethics every step of the way from how... individual ingredient is grown. I mean, if we're talking about animal proteins, you know, how an animal has been treated, how, you know, spinach or corn has been grown, basically dealing with what is behind the farm, what is behind the person that started the farm. It starts with that decision as who's growing the food, and then who's growing the food leads to who's harvesting the food, where does it go from there, where has it been raised, how far has it traveled to get to the dinner plate. You know, most food in our grocery stores, I think the statistic is, you know, travels an average of 1,500 miles to get to the produce display, whereas, you know, you've got some wonderful farmers markets. You know, in every community, there's, you know, a great farmers market, depending on where you're at. Ultimately, that should be what you're experiencing. And there's some great stores that, you know, source foods within a certain radius, and you're always eating locally, you're always eating seasonally, and you're supporting small farmers that, you know, enhance the soil as opposed to depleting it. These large agricultural farming operations, you know, that have, you know, hundreds and thousands of acres, it's very challenging to maintain integrity with what you're growing. On that level, you're using all sorts of technology, you're using all sorts of you know, fertilizers and chemicals to monitor crops and to keep things consistent. And, you know, sustainability is basically creating a system where everything is returned in a circle. You know, the whole concept of grass-fed cattle, it's a perfect ecosystem. I mean, the animals graze on the grass, it feeds them, it nourishes them, and then the soil is fertilized with their manure, and then more grass grows. You know, you're not carting in grain that's grown specifically to feed the cattle that's, you know, given to them, and then their manure doesn't do anything because they're sitting in these, you know, basically cement pens. their manure has to be disposed of in a certain way that, you know, can contaminate other things down the way. So it's basically having, you know, a harmonious ecosystem within the decision that you're making, either as a consumer or from a commercial standpoint in a restaurant. And, you know, in my mind, sustainability should be a part of everyone's decision, whether they're going out to eat or whether they're brushing their teeth. I mean, you've got to think, what, you know, what toothpaste am I using? What toothbrush am I using? Where did I shop to buy these products? You know, sustainability isn't just about food. It's about everything we do in our lives, and ultimately what we do should be in harmony with nature as opposed to fighting it.
Wow, those are so many things that I never even really thought about. And I consider myself a pretty savvy person when it comes to these things, as you know, because we've talked about this. I was, you know, was a raw foodist for quite a while, and you know, but those are things I just haven't even thought of.
Yeah,
so
No,
go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just going to say, it's interesting how, you know, there can be different perspectives on so many different things, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you got to always return to nature and see how things happen in the natural world. And it, you know, it really kind of gives us a good illustration of how we should live our lives, you know. And I think there's no better example than, you know, the pastured, you know, grass-fed cattle concept, because that's just the most perfect system ever. And what we've created with these huge factory farms is the complete opposite of that. You create more problems, and then you try to find all sorts of technologically advanced ways to fix these problems that we've created, all because the first decision was made, you know, not in line with what's natural for the animal. So it's amusing, and it's sad, because we've created this crazy system, completely, absolutely crazy system of food that we now have to almost fight ourselves to go back to the way things were, which was, you know, fairly balanced and fairly in harmony. And that's why there's all these, you know, crazy things going on now in the world that, you know, with factory farms and E. coli outbreaks and salmonella now, I mean, with the egg recall, which is one of the largest, you know, food contamination situations we've ever experienced in modern agriculture. So you'd think that as we get more advanced and as we get more scientific about things, you'd think there'd be less to worry about. But, you know, if you look at the statistics, there's a heck of a lot more to worry about, which makes us wonder, where have we gone wrong? You know, what's the problem?
Well, and that actually leads to a question that we just got in by email. But first, let me just say, Rob, that was a great question, and I certainly learned something about what sustainable means. Thank you for that question. The question that we have that's come in by email is has to do with genetically modified food. And I don't know if you know anything in particular about that, but someone was asking, you know, this question is, you know, what does it really mean, and should we be concerned about it?
I think we should be very concerned about it. Genetically modified organisms are basically, you know, at the seed level, there's been some sort of a modification to the gene of the plant to have certain characteristics or to be resistant to certain, naturally resistant, naturally, of course, in quotation marks, naturally resistant to certain types of pests or certain types of issues that the plant may experience, so that it has better resistance. It's almost like a vaccinated plant. And it grows this way. However, when you manipulate anything on a cellular level, on a genetic level, and you then ingest it in your body, you need to wait a good amount of time to really see what the consequences are. So what's happening now, unfortunately, is we're all kind of lab rats. We're being tested different types of food, you know, because these things aren't specifically labeled that way. There was, you know, a whole attempt to get these foods labeled as contains genetically modified ingredients, and that didn't exactly go well, because from the marketing standpoint, I don't think, you know, that would help consumers, you know, as far as making certain choices. It wouldn't help these companies, it would help the consumers, So we don't have these foods labeled properly. You know, certain foods can say contains no GMOs, and that's something an individual company can, you know, can label its food with. But you don't have all these warning labels as you walk down the aisle when you're looking at cereal or whatever. It doesn't say with some catchy little bright label, hey, this contains genetically modified organisms. So that's why it's so important to really know the companies that you're supporting, and the way we vote is with the dollars that we spend. And, you know, that's why every decision we make at the grocery store contributes to this maintenance of these ingredients being on our shelves, or contributes to them being pulled because consumer demand dictates what these companies decide they ought to do. So, yeah, genetically modified organisms are all over the place. They're, you know, rampant in highly processed foods. And it's really creepy. I mean, we're, you know, you could get a tomato that's been modified so that it has a specific hue of red, you know, or that, you know, gives off a particular scent. And it's freaky. I mean, it's, you know, a friend of mine refers to them as Frankenfoods, which is totally what it is. It's, you know, laboratory created seeds, you know, that turn into these mature ingredients that are then processed and used all over the place. It's not just limited to vegetables. It's all over the board. So, you know, it's really important to be aware of, and it's you know, our responsibility as consumers to research who these companies are and what ingredients are in our food, and plan accordingly and dine accordingly.
You're listening to Now You Know Radio. Remember, you can call in to ask our guest, Chef Daniel Asher, the Eco Chef, your questions at 877-695-7234. That's 877-NYK-RADIO. You can call in just to listen that way, and if you want to ask a question, just push 1 on your touch-tone pad or your dial pad. Chef Asher, you mentioned something earlier when talking about the sustainable aspect of food, about how to think about, for example, how far it's being trucked into wherever you are. And that made me think about something that I had heard, and I was wondering if you could comment on this. And what I had heard, in fact, I heard this from someone at my local organic grocery store, and I was looking for something, I think it was organic corn. And they said, well, you know, it's not in season, we don't have any, but we do have some frozen, and, you know, the frozen organic produce can be even more nutritious and more fresh than the quote-unquote fresh stuff because it's frozen right before it leaves the freezer factory or whatever you call, you know, the packing place, whereas the produce that's in the produce aisle, even at a upscale organic market, may have been, you know, spent days on a truck and may have been sent unripe and ripened in place and all these other things. And so I guess really my question is, first of all, if there's any validity to that, and also just what you look for when you're selecting fresh organic produce, or do you go to frozen? Like, how can we get the best produce short of growing it ourselves for those of us who have a black thumb?
Sure. No, that's a great question. You know, I don't know from a nutritional standpoint the difference between, you know, frozen organic produce versus fresh. What I do know as a chef is it's far less romantic to cut open a plastic bag with a bunch of corn kernels in it than it is to grab a fresh ear of corn and to shuck it and take a knife and cut it off the cob and throw it in a saute pan. That to me is, you know, romancing the food, so to speak, you know, as opposed to it's a very, you know, clinical process to just grab some scissors and cut open a plastic bag and dump whatever it is out onto the counter. So, you know, as an artistic person, I always go for what's more of a beautiful process, what process involves more connection to the food with my hands, my eyes. And, you know, as far as frozen goes, I guess, you know, in certain aspects it makes sense. I mean, I don't want to, you know, deny the merits of frozen food. It's, you know, it's a great technology. It's a great way to store food and to keep things from spoiling. But, you know, I always think, you know, fresh is best, you know, as far as how I shop. and decisions that we make at home. I mean, it's basically as fresh as possible, as local as possible. And, you know, every community has, you know, a local organic farm, probably a number of them that are doing a CSA box program, a community-supported agriculture, where you basically buy a share of the crop harvest for that particular season. You know, there's usually a sliding scale based on income level, what time you buy into the share, and basically you get a gorgeous box of organic produce delivered to your door or close to it. And it's whatever's, you know, seasonal, whatever the farm decides makes sense to put in that box, and it's usually as fresh as you can get, and it's, you know, phenomenal food. And that's, you know, always the route that I encourage. That's always the best step besides going to your local farmer's market. Or, you know, a lot of markets that have organic produce sections will say where the food is from. And, of course, you know, when you're making a decision, I mean, obviously, if you're in Washington, you know, why would you buy apples from Chile? So, you know, what's your local Washington apples? So here in Colorado, why would I buy a peach from California, you know, when, you know, there's beautiful peaches being grown, you know, 40 miles from where I'm sitting right now. So
wow,
it's
I don't,
a matter of knowing what's best at the time.
I don't know how you're doing this. You must be psychic or prescient or one of those things. Do you moonlight as a medium? Because you keep saying exactly the thing that I need to lead into the next question. It's uncanny. So
really?
We have a question coming from... We have a question coming from the chat room from Phil in San Francisco, and his question is, can you explain the meaning behind when it says at a restaurant or such, it says when possible, quote unquote, as it pertains to them using organics and other sustainables? And I've seen that before on the menu as well. It says, you know, we use organic things when possible, or the, you know, the sea bass is, well, that's a bad example, but, you know, the potatoes are organic when possible. Is that sort of, I mean, that sounds like the kind of weasel words that we lawyers use, but I'm sure that's really not what it is. Can you explain that?
Yes, yeah, certainly. And that's actually a great, a fantastic question, actually. And it's very disturbing for me when I go out to eat to see that on a menu, because it alleviates any level of responsibility, usually, depending on which restaurant it is and what the philosophy is behind the restaurant. But unfortunately, we've reached a point where being green and being sustainable and cooking organically is a fabulous marketing term, and it's a great way to draw people in, and it's a great way to, you know, have people feel better about what they're eating when what's going on behind the scenes may or may not be the case. And it's, you know, an individual restaurant responsibility to use that philosophy in a manner that is in line with, you know, the kitchen concept, the food concept. So you've got a lot of these restaurants that basically have never ordered anything organic, and they can just throw that on the menu and say, well, if it's convenient, you know, what does when possible mean? Probably when it's cheaper, when it's more convenient, and when we're in the mood. That's usually in most food service operations what that means. But on the flip side, you know, being a food service professional myself, I know how hard it is to source certain things at certain times. And, you know, at Root Down, our focus is to use as many organic ingredients as we could possibly get our hands on. And unfortunately, that's not always as easy as it seems based on availability. So we might be using organic zucchini, organic zucchini, organic zucchini, and then all of a sudden we literally can't get any organic zucchini in for a particular week. So we have to, you know, make the next best choice as to what's available at the time. So, you know, in our situation, when possible means pretty much all the darn time, except when there's a conflict with supply issues or, you know, problems with crops. I mean, we've gotten in some, we got some organic corn in actually last week from a local farm that, you know, it wasn't sweet at all. I mean, it really wasn't what we had been getting in regularly. So, you know, we had to make a decision at the time. Well, you know, what do we do? We weren't going to get conventional corn, because the conventional, you know, corn, in my opinion, has a whole bunch of issues attached to it. Also with GMOs and other things. I mean, corn is one particular ingredient that I always feel needs to be organic and sourced responsibly. So, you know, we just added some extra agave nectar to the dish, which is a natural sweetener, to bring out a little bit more sweetness in the dish, you know, because the corn wasn't backing it, so to speak. So in that situation, that's what we had to do. You know, another restaurant might be in that same situation and say, oh, my gosh, we got to get some delicious sweet corn, so let's just get whatever we can get in, which may end up being, you know, not very organic. Or it might be, you know, you never really know. So that whole concept of when possible on the menu can do one of two things. It can alleviate responsibility for a particular operation that doesn't have a tremendous level of integrity, or it can alleviate stress for a restaurant with a high level of integrity to know that in certain situations you just can't always make that decision. You can't always be organic, but you know, you try as hard as you can to make it right in every situation. So, you know, to have a fully organic certified restaurant, you know, that uses every particular ingredient that's completely certified organic is not only challenging, it's incredibly expensive. And to be able to have an appealing price level for consumers to come in and have a dining experience that they feel comfortable enjoying without feeling stressed themselves financially, you know, there's a balance there. There's certain decisions that you make. And obviously, you know, certain ingredients or certain produce items contain higher levels of pesticide when they're not grown organically than others. And there's lists people can find online to see what's, you know, what these ingredients are. And obviously, like root vegetables that are grown in the soil should always be sourced organically because they absorb, you know, very high levels of nutrients and, you know, contaminants from the soil, et cetera, et cetera. So there's always a priority list of what you should always seek out organically and then, you know, seek out organically when you can, when you're able to. So, and then the restaurant world, it translates in a similar way. But, you know, personally myself, when I'm out dining at a restaurant and I see that, you know, I always ask, hey, where's this from? You know, can I talk to the chef for a second? And then I always make a judgment call based on, you know, what the response is. You've either got someone that's incredibly well-educated and knows exactly what's going on in the kitchen, or you've got someone that's a little embarrassed and is stumbling over their words a little bit, and then you know that, you know, hey, maybe this is more of a marketing logo as opposed to, you know, a true path of integrity that the restaurant has adopted.
And that is so important to know, because I think as consumers, we just assume that either the government is requiring them to be fully truthful or just that people have integrity and businesses have integrity. By the way, Phil, who asked that question, would like you to know that he says hello and that you will recognize him by his last name of Dough, as in bread dough. Does that mean anything to you, Chef Asher?
I think so.
I think he works with someone named Justin Cucci.
That's funny.
Or maybe not. In any event, Will from Tyler, Texas, has sent in a question, and Will would like to know, how does someone start if they want to get educated on how to eat organic or just making better food decisions? And I'd like to add on to that, how do they start really doing it? And cooking organic is very involved because, of course, you are a chef as well as you know, I don't want to use you just as a nutrition expert here. I'd love to get some tips on how to get started because it sometimes seems daunting to people. But first, let's answer Will's text question, which, again, is where does someone start if they want to get educated on how to eat organic or how to eat better? And also let me remind our listeners that you can call in and ask Chef Asher your questions directly. You can call 877-NYK Radio, which translates to 877-695-7234, or send us your questions to Twitter at Now You Know Radio. So how do you get started, Chef Asher?
You know what, that's a great question. You know, I think the best education, you know, someone that's kind of curious about these decisions can get is just walking down the aisle at a local farmer's market. You know, spend a Saturday afternoon walking around, asking questions, finding out how things are grown, finding out where they're from, what's in season at the time, and just connecting to the food, and at the same time you connect with the farmer that grew the food. And that's, you know, a very inspiring experience. But beyond that, you know, there's tons of books. There's some great resources either on the internet or at the library, you know, to go and just do some research. I mean, some great a great film that I've enjoyed is called The Future of Food by Deborah Coons Garcia. It's a great film. Food Incorporated is very eye-opening. You know, The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan is great. Fast Food Nation. These are books that kind of give us a little insight as to what's really going on with our food supply and different ways we can act as consumers to, you know, kind of move things in a better direction. But, you know, like I said, you know, go to your local bookstore, you know, go to the cookbook section. You know, there's all sorts of great great resources there as far as, you know, cooking organically, cooking vibrantly. You know, you'll know the titles that, you know, are more in line with what you're looking for. They'll kind of pop out of the shelf. You know, we usually find what we're looking for at the appropriate time. So if you wander around the bookstore, wander around the cookbook section at the food store, wander around the farmer's market, and then, you know, grab a couple of these films and spend a weekend kind of immersing yourself, you know, I think not only will you have a heck of a weekend and you'll be eating some great food, but you'll also learn a lot about, you know, about nutrition, about health, about wellness in general.
You're listening to Now You Know Radio with Chef Daniel Asher, the Eco Chef from Denver, Colorado. You can call us at 877-NYK Radio. Chef Asher, now you recently joined, am I right, this restaurant, it's called Root Down. Am I right in thinking is it a new restaurant, or you just recently joined?
Root Down's been almost 2 years going strong, I'd say. And then I came on board with the restaurant about a year ago. Or a little more than a year ago. And it's just gotten a phenomenal level of response from the community. And actually, we were just in the New York Times this past Sunday. We were just four restaurants in Denver that were featured for, you know, highlighting farm-to-table practices and, you know, highlighting finality and, you know, organic cooking in the Denver area. So that was, you know, that was a huge experience. Yeah, we've just gotten a tremendous amount of fabulous press, and Justin's done an amazing job of creating a tremendous arena where people can, you know, come and eat regardless of your dietary needs or regardless of your dietary path. And, you know, everyone can sit at the same table. We've got a gluten-free menu, a vegan menu, vegetarian menu, a regular menu full of ethically sourced animal proteins, fish and beef, bison. So, you know, he kind of sought out to solve, you know, what Michael Pollan presents, the omnivore's dilemma. You know, how do we solve this equation in our food supply? And also when we go out to eat, I mean, I was vegetarian for 12 years until very recently, actually. And, you know, whenever I would go out to eat, it was always an afterthought. You know, hey, can I get this vegetarian? I always felt like I was an inconvenience, like I was, you know, I needed to get special treatment or something to be accommodated. And it was uncomfortable, you know. And then you've got, you know, people that are dealing with celiac disease. We were actually just at the Celiac Screw fair, you know, doing some gluten-free sampling with a local bakery that has just done a gluten-free bread line called Rudy's. You know, we've created a restaurant basically where you could come in, you know, with, regardless, you could, you know, be in a group with a vegetarian and someone that needs to eat gluten-free, and you yourself are looking for, you know, a nice steak, and then, you know, you got another person who only eats, you know, fish occasionally, and then everyone can come and eat, and everyone's got, their own fabulous menu to choose from, and everyone feels accommodated and respected and honored.
And welcome.
It's a great environment, you know, wonderful.
That's, you know, you touched on something that really is one of my pet peeves, speaking as a vegetarian, and I'm a very strict vegetarian, almost at times leaning to vegan, but not always. And one of my pet, talk about truth in advertising, sort of along the line of when available with organics, is so many restaurants will have a dish or several dishes that they call vegetarian with cheese in it, and they have no idea about the issue of rennet and whether their cheese has rennet, which would render those dishes not vegetarian. And I don't know what can be done about that other than, again, you know, being a vegetarian, asking. And as you said, then you feel like you're being a pain in the neck and you're putting them out. And really, it's about educating them, but you just feel like you're a real pest. So it's wonderful to hear that in your own restaurant where you're working, that, that's something that really you've thought about and that you've taken into account. Jennifer from New Orleans has sent in an email, and Jennifer would like to know, are there particular types of restaurants that would be more aligned with using organic and sustainable food? How do you find those places? Which I think really translates to, as a diner, if you want to make conscious choices about the type of food you're going to eat when you go out, what's the best way to go about finding a restaurant? Are there a particular type that is more likely to be careful with using organics and ethically sourced meat? You mentioned that, and I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about that too and what that means.
Sure. No, that's a great point to bring up. You know, as far as seeking out these restaurants, I mean, the best thing to do is, you know, usually there's a local paper or a local, you know, a local guide to the community, and there'll be restaurants listed in different categories. You know, now the organic category is, you know, a very popular place, I think, that restaurants want to fit into. You know, an easy way is, you know, if you're dining at a chain restaurant, you know, that has hundreds of locations nationwide, for the most part, it'd be very hard to fit fit a organic philosophy into that. However, there's a lot of chain restaurants right now, in the marketplace that are doing a phenomenal job at raising awareness with our food supply. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword in that respect. But so, you know, bigger necessarily isn't worse. You know, but when it comes down to it, you know, you really want to support where you live. I mean, if you're living in a certain community, you want your dollars to kind of be cycled back into that community. So when you dine at a restaurant who has a headquarters located, you know, 10 states away, and they've got hundreds of locations and whatnot, you're not necessarily making a decision that goes directly into your local community. But when you've got, you know, an owner, established restaurant, the owner lives in the community, also part of the community, you've got, you know, a team of people that have created a space based on, you know, where they're at and things they love, you're usually in for a great dining experience that's been created with a high level of passion and excitement for that specific community. So, you know, I'm a huge advocate of finding, you know, some great local restaurants, knowing the owners, knowing the chefs, really finding out who's, you know, who's touching your food behind the scenes and what's going on at the back door, which you may not see. You know, what food trucks are pulling up, mm-hmm, to make deliveries?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, a rancher in a cowboy hat coming in, you know, with a couple unmarked cardboard boxes, and you're like, wow, that looks kind of cool. Or do you have this big corporate truck pulling up with a bunch of commodity beef and pork inside, you know? So it's a matter of, you know, you got to do a little research as a consumer. That's the thing, you know, to follow this lifestyle isn't necessarily easy, and it's not necessarily convenient in the beginning. But once you mentally click in to doing these, doing the due diligence, so to speak, of you know, research and experience and, you know, seeking out these things, then it becomes very easy because you create this beautiful network for yourself that, hey, you know, I'm in the mood for Italian food. Oh, I'll go to that guy Greg's place. He's such a great guy, and he grows organic basil in the back that he puts in the lasagna and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, you kind of are a part of what's going on. And that's what you want. You don't want to be detached from your dining experience. You don't want to be detached from your you know, even grocery shopping experience. You know, do you want to shop at a giant, you know, a giant chain store, or do you want to support your local co-op, or do you want to support your local farmers market? You know, these are decisions that, again, we vote every time we pass a dollar on to someone. We're making a conscientious decision as to how the world falls.
True enough. And, you know, we had a co-op here in Boulder, Colorado, and very sadly, it folded. But we do have a wonderful farmer's market. And I just want to tell our listeners that we have Chef Asher for just about 15 more minutes. So get your calls in now at 877-NYK-RADIO. That's 877-695-7234. Or Twitter us at Now You Know Radio, or ask us questions from the chat room, which is available through the site, which you can link through to from nowyouknowradio.com. We have another question from email, but before we get to that, I want to ask you, well, actually, this is partly this question. I'm just going to put a little twist on it. You mentioned you can't see, you know, what's going on behind the scenes at the back door. Again, you're prescient. You must have just somehow known we were going to go in this direction, but we did call this segment Kitchen Unconfidential. So can you tell us, without naming names, some of the more unbelievable things that you have seen go on in a restaurant kitchen?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, what goes on in the food industry in general, you know, I think can be quite shocking. Which is, again, why I encourage everyone to really find out what's, you know, what's going on. You know, who's making your food, who's preparing things, what decisions are being made. Exactly. So, you know, this is why I kind of, you know, removed myself from mainstream restaurants, so to speak, because, you know, so many places are just getting highly processed food. You know, it's delivered frozen in boxes. You know, you just cut the box open. You've got this, you know, pre-portioned, you know, box of whatever it may be. You know, let's, you know, I used lasagna in the last example, so let's stick with that. You've got this, you know, frozen lasagna with
and because it's frozen, let me just ask, because it's frozen, if it falls on the floor, that's okay, right? Like, you guys have a 5-second rule in restaurant kitchens, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. If the frozen lasagna falls on the floor, it's not going to be damaged at all because it's usually wrapped in 20 layers of plastic and it's in an aluminum pan. So, yeah, you know, you've got this ingredient list that's, you know, has 75 different ingredients in it. And you think, well, what, you know, what goes into lasagna? I mean, you've got pasta, tomato sauce, zucchini, you know, some cheese, a couple other different vegetables and herbs. I mean, when you make lasagna at home, you're not grabbing 75 different ingredients. But somehow they fit all these crazy. But yeah, I mean, we fit all these crazy additives and stuff into this food, and you open this box, and it's, you know, you cut a little portion and throw it in the microwave, and then on the menu it'll say, you know, my grandmother's famous lasagna, and that's it, and no one really knows the difference, and they think, oh, this is amazing, and it's, you know, it's the same lasagna that, you know, 30 other restaurants in town are serving because they're buying from the same place, and that's it. I mean, to be a scratch kitchen, to, you know, basically cook everything from scratch, not only takes a tremendous amount of time and dedication, but also a lot of energy.
But you do that when you're doing a raw meal.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I talked over you, but
yeah. When I do a raw dinner at, you know, now we're doing them at Root Town every Tuesday night, we do a 4-course raw vegan menu, and you know, it's intense. It takes a tremendous amount of preparation. I start a couple days ahead of time. You know, food has to be you know, marinated and dehydrated and soaked, and you know, there's all these processes that go into it. It takes a tremendous amount of time and effort, and a lot of restaurants are just looking for what's, you know, quickest, what's convenient, what's cheapest, and what's, you know, the most consistent way to go. And usually that's pre-made product, you know, so you've got so many restaurants that have great reviews and people think they've got, you know, these amazing food items, and they very well may taste fantastic, but the bottom line is they're not being made in-house. They're not being prepared with any sort of consciousness other than, you know, throwing them in a microwave and putting them on a plate, you know, maybe throwing a little, you know, a couple sauces on the plate, some of which might be homemade, some of which also might be completely prepackaged. You know, unfortunately, early in my career, I worked in a lot of kitchens that were completely prepackaged restaurants. I mean, all you did was assemble things on a plate. There wasn't any sort of cooking really going on. There was basically reheating. Clever plating and clever reheating was basically what was going on. So,
they do say that presentation is everything. So, what's wrong with that?
Right. No, that's true. I mean, hey, if you create a plate that, you know, people are excited about and tastes great, then that may well be fine in that particular situation. And if people pay a fair price and feel full and content and tell their friends about it, then that's great. But at the end of the day, what are you specifically feeding people, you know? And, you know, what are in these items? And not to say there's not some great prepackaged foods that are completely clean and well executed. But, you know, the process of cooking is a very, very important thing. And you really want to, you know, when I go out and spend my money at a restaurant, I want to know that what I'm eating has been lovingly cared for and thought out and has been, you know, involved in some sort of a process in that particular kitchen that illustrates what's going on with that team of, culinary professionals. You're basically going out to eat should be like going to an art gallery, you know, and you've got all these different paintings to choose from. Which one are you going to enjoy? You know, so do you want the painting that's been, just printed off on a, you know, commercial printer, and it's a print that's available online, and you've got, you know, 50 different art galleries in the same city or, you know, have the exact same painting? Or do you want something that's more unique and, more special and more specific to what the vibe is in that particular kitchen or, you know, gallery? I want to go to an art gallery that has beautiful paintings that are one of a kind, you know, so when I go to out to eat, I want to eat a dish that I've never really had before. It's been assembled in a way that really makes me think about food, and the flavors are something that really, you know, I find completely exciting and exhilarating, as opposed to just your standard level of excitement that comes with, you know, processed, reheated food. So, I guess that's an interesting way of looking at food, but that's how I look at it. You know, it's like going to an art gallery. You're eating the masterpiece as opposed to just tasting the wall.
That is a wonderful way to look at it, I think. And I think I'll probably never look at going to a restaurant quite the same way again. As indeed I felt when I went to the restaurant where you were working. We have just a few more minutes now with our guest, Chef Asher, here on Now You Know Radio. Give him a call at 877-NYK-RADIO. And Chef Asher, Tom from Tulsa would like to know just how accurate Food Inc. is. And relatedly, Ann from Boulder would like to know just how accurate Kitchen Confidential is.
Hey, those are a couple great questions. As far as Food Inc. is concerned, I haven't had time to really research the farms that were represented in the film. I haven't, specifically delved into it. I think a lot of concepts that are brought up in that film are very well illustrated, and it's a very well done film as far as our food supply is concerned. There's truths and there's, conflicts in everything, I think, on both sides of the equation. And to play devil's advocate for a second, you know, there's a number of, you know, farms that may be, you know, certified organic or may say that they, you know, practice cage-free practices or free-range practices. And when you actually, if you were to physically go visit the farm, you wouldn't feel very good about the food that's coming off of that farm, you know. So on one hand, these standards are in place for a reason, and on the other hand, people are people, you know. They're going to do certain things that they're going to make certain decisions in a moment that may make sense at the time, but don't necessarily represent the philosophy that they should be following. So, you know, there's pros and cons in everything. So, I can't sit here and say, is the entire film completely true? I personally, from firsthand experience, know that a lot of things that are presented in that film to me are completely valid and true. But someone else may watch the movie and say, hey, that's completely not right. I went to visit, that particular space, and that's not what was going on there, you know. So I can't, represent that in any other way, nor would I want to. So because you know, I wasn't physically at these spaces, but I have had some experience with certain companies mentioned in that film, and I have had a certain amount of knowledge in the natural foods industry for a good amount of time now to know that a lot of what's in that movie is completely on point with what's happening right now with our food supply.
Wow.
So, you know, but there's, you know, fact and fiction in everything in this world, and it's up to us as individuals to decide what is our specific truth and what is in harmony with our personal life experience. So,
in other words, take responsibility for what you're putting in your mouth and what goes down into your stomach. Listen,
yeah,
we have just a couple of minutes. Thank you. We have just a couple of minutes left with you, and this would not be a show with a chef if I didn't put you on the spot and ask you if you can give our listeners just a really, like, one of your favorite, quickie, few-ingredient, easy-to-make, some kind of a recipe that we can leave them with so that they will go home or go into the kitchen and say, wow, that was so easy and so amazingly good. I want me some more of that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, with pleasure. Oh, and on the Kitchen Confidential point, Anthony Bourdain is an absolutely brilliant writer, and that book is definitely a fairly accurate portrayal of, you know, the lives behind the scenes of, you know, food service workers. I mean, granted, when he came up in the business, things were much crazier and a little, I think, a little more chaotic and a little less regulated, so to speak. So there's a lot of things in that book that are... you know, hard to imagine, but, you know, easy to picture, I guess you could say.
Okay. Now,
yeah,
I just need to tell you, we have only literally 2 minutes before
a great easy thing to do, cook off some wonderful black lentils, if possible, or French green lentils. Cook them off so they're pretty much all ready to go, and then throw them in a saute pan with like a tablespoon of organic coconut oil. This is like one of the greatest ingredients, is to cook with coconut oil. And saute the lentils really quick in some coconut oil, squeeze a fresh lemon, chop some fresh chives in there and a little bit of tarragon or thyme, a little bit of sea salt and some black pepper, and that'll be like one of the greatest dishes you've ever had. You'll become instantly addicted to lentils. And I think the world would be a better place if people ate lentils like they eat potato chips.
Oh, I love lentils, and I got to tell you, now my mouth really is watering. Well, Chef Asher, thank you so much. And if people are lucky enough to be in the Denver area, they can look you up at, tell us where you are.
RootDownDenver.com is the website. We're located right on the corner of 33rd and Osage in Denver. And, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much, and I encourage everyone to really you know, find your local farmer and support, you know, natural, organic agriculture, because it's a really important thing to do.
Well, thank you again. And, you know, please, will you come back? We're already having listeners ask us to have you back.
Oh, for sure. It's been wonderful. I'd love to come back on the show. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you ever so much for joining us. Next week, be sure to join us. It's our Labor Day show with yours truly in my capacity as a father's rights lawyer. And as always, we hope you leave our show. No, we hope you leave our show saying, now I know.